How's your car looking? Showing its age? Faded paint? Dents? Dings? Don't worry. Maaco is here to help. They're the experts in affordable paint jobs and light collision repairs, helping you keep your car looking its best without breaking the bank. With Maaco's national reach and community focus, you're not just getting top-notch service. You're actually getting a partner you can trust. Visit your local Maaco today and see how they can refresh your ride. Go in, get the free estimate, and the expert technicians will handle the rest. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
Sick of procurement bottlenecks? Get the cure with Bill Procurement. Bill is the all-in-one platform trusted by nearly 500,000 businesses to simplify their financial operations. And now they've introduced Bill Procurement, which pairs seamlessly with accounts payable to automate procure-to-pay workflows in one place. Every step, from submitting a purchase request to reconciling payment, happens in Bill Procurement, so your business keeps moving and growing. Score $200 when you see Bill Procurement in action with a demo. Go to bill.com/procurement200. bill.com/procurement200. Sick of procurement bottlenecks? Get the cure with Bill Procurement. Bill is the all-in-one platform trusted by nearly 500,000 businesses to simplify their financial operations. And now they've introduced Bill Procurement, which pairs seamlessly with accounts payable to automate procure-to-pay workflows in one place. Every step, from submitting a purchase request to reconciling payment, happens in Bill Procurement, so your business keeps moving and growing. Score $200 when you see Bill Procurement in action with a demo. Go to bill.com/procurement200. bill.com/procurement200.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Correct, for her, for the defendant. Some people don't have repetitive
understood. Speech. I'm just talking about your observations of her at that time.
Yes, yes, sir.
Her demeanor was consistent with having gone through a significant trauma.
For the situation, sure, yes.
Okay. You said that she went from calmness to agitation. The agitation you accounted for being, I don't necessarily want to go to the hospital, I don't want to be sectioned, correct?
She felt like she didn't need to. It wasn't, she wasn't going to act on her comments about wanting to harm herself.
You called it, I think in a report, it's SI, suicidal ideation.
Correct.
That's obviously of great concern to you and your partners when you're assessing a patient, correct?
That's right.
You don't want to leave someone on their own if they're going to self-harm, correct?
That's correct.
You pretty quickly assessed, I'm guessing, Firefighter Becker, that she was not, in fact, in the position to self-harm, that I think you said that the statements she originally made, if John dies, I don't want to live, were not necessarily at the level of actual suicidal ideation. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, at the time I believed her because of the information we got and what she went through.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite understand your answer.
Sorry, can you repeat your question?
It's probably my fault. At the time that you assessed her, even though she had made some comments about if John doesn't live, I don't want to live either, you did not elevate that to the level of her being suicidal at that moment.
So I couldn't rule it out, but
okay.
I didn't think it was a huge threat at the time.
Understood.
Couldn't rule it out. So that's why, we had to take her to the hospital.
Understood. I mean, you had a Section 12. You had to take her irrespective of what you ruled in or out, right?
Right.
Okay. Firefighter Whitley was with you in the back of the ambulance the entire time you were with Ms. Reed, correct?
Not the entire time. He was, before we started transporting, he was kind of in and out trying to find more of, talking to the police officers, find more of a story of, what happened,
okay.
why we're taking the defendant on a Section 12.
Once you and Ms. Reed were in the back of the ambulance, Firefighter Whitley then joined you in the back of the ambulance?
He did.
How much time lapsed?
It was a couple minutes at the most.
Okay, so it wasn't a lengthy amount of time?
It wasn't lengthy.
And he was with you during the transport, along with Ms. Reed, for the whole transport back to Good Sam?
To Good Sam, yes.
And you ended, you said on direct examination, I think your phrase was, all in all, she was cooperative with us.
For the majority of the transport, yes.
Okay. Never became combative, never got physical, nothing like that?
No.
Okay. She did refer to Mr. O'Keefe as her husband or her spouse.
That's correct.
You're aware of HIPAA rules, obviously. You're in the medical field, correct?
Correct.
You're aware at the time that HIPAA rules would demand or dictate that unless you're a spouse or a parent or a child, there are certain rules against getting or providing information to someone who isn't one of those close family members, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. You previously indicated on direct examination that, I think your words were, that Ms. Reed indicated that her last conversation she had with her husband was an argument, correct?
Correct.
You've previously testified about that statement in other particulars, right? Other hearings.
I have.
You're paraphrasing. You didn't write down what she said about her previous interactions with Mr. O'Keefe, and you didn't record those on a tape recorder, correct?
I wrote down in my report that she said she had an argument.
Right. You didn't write them down at the time. That was a bad question on my part. You weren't taking notes as she was speaking.
Yeah, I could have been. I mean, it just, it's kind of for every call, we jot down notes on a notepad, just okay. So, you know, when we give the staff a report, we can read off it.
Do you have those notes?
I don't.
Okay. Do you think you took notes or no?
To be honest, I'm not sure. I could have been typing them on the computer. That's what we typed the report on.
Okay.
The time.
Do you have an independent recollection of taking notes, either handwritten or on a computer, as you sit here right now?
I couldn't tell you if I did one or the other. Sometimes okay. I write on the computer, sometimes I don't.
Or you might not have written anything down, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So, in any event, you weren't taking down, even if you were taking notes, you weren't taking down verbatim quotes of what she was saying. You were paraphrasing the information that was coming to you, correct?
That's correct.
All right. You had previously said or testified that the last time, let me rephrase that just a little bit. You previously indicated in recounting what it was that Ms. Reed actually said to you was something along the lines of she was upset because her last words to him were, because of her last words to him being in anger.
I object.
I'm going to allow the question.
Is that correct?
I probably phrased it a little wrong. Wrongly, the last words, it was the last conversation.
Okay, that wasn't my question. My question is a simple one. In a previous hearing, did you use the phrase, her last words to him?
Previous, yes, I did.
Anger?
I did.
And that was at a hearing where you were under oath, just like you are now, correct?
Correct.
That was a little closer in time than we are now. It was maybe a year ago, correct?
Correct.
Actually, my mistake. It was about 2.5 years ago. It was a grand jury, correct?
Grand jury was before, yes.
Okay. And the phrase that you used was, and I want to concentrate on that for just a quick second, Firefighter Becker.
Sure.
The phrase that you used at that time was that she said, quote, like her last words to him. She was upset about her, quote, last words to him. Is that right?
I object.
All right. Can I see counsel at sidebar, please?
May I continue, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you. When you were recounting the conversation that Ms. Reed indicated that she was upset about, you also indicated, in addition to using the phrase, her last words to him, you also said that it was earlier in the night, correct? They had an argument earlier in the night.
I don't recall.
May I have just a moment, Your Honor?
Yes.
May I approach?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
you don't mind, take a look at the top paragraph, very, very small print. Let me know when you've refreshed your recollection.
Yes.
Great. May I approach?
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
You got it.
When you wrote your report, you had indicated that when she was describing the argument that you testified to on direct, it was about an argument that was, quote, earlier in the night.
Earlier in the night, correct.
Okay. And then you recounted that statement, that same statement, in the grand jury later on as at least including, quote, her last words. Is that right?
Her last words.
You were talking about an argument that they had, and then she was upset, and you were paraphrasing her. And one of the things that you paraphrased was, in fact, your statement was she was upset that that was like her last words to him, correct?
She said that.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. Were you also made aware, did she tell you that her last words to him were in voicemails? Did she say that?
She didn't give any details.
Did you ask her, what were your last words to him?
I did not.
Did she ever say whether or not she believed he ever received her last words to him?
There's no other details. There was no other details other than what she said.
Okay. But she did, when she was having this conversation with you about her last words to him, she did actually take out her phone and show you a bunch of missed calls to him at the same time, didn't she?
She tried to, yes.
Okay. In your mind, did you put two and two together that what she was actually talking about were the missed calls and her being upset about her last words to him being very angry on those missed calls, those voicemails? Did you put those two things together?
I didn't.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I have.
Hey, Mr. Brennan.
So when Ms. Reed told you that she was sad because her last conversation, her last thing that she had said to him was an argument, did she ever suggest that was in a voicemail?
Objection.
Did she ever suggest it was in a voicemail?
She did not.
Did she ever suggest that she didn't actually speak to him, but instead it was some type of message?
Objection.
I'll allow that.
Did she ever suggest that?
She did not.
In fact, you wrote a report saying that there was an argument earlier in the night, didn't you?
Objection. Your Honor.
Sustained.
You then were interviewed, weren't you? Were you
yes.
interviewed on February 14th, 2022?
Yes.
And you referred to the fact that she told you there was an argument earlier in the night?
Argument earlier in the night.
Okay. And she was telling you this when you were speaking to her that morning?
Correct. Around 6 a.m.
Right. Yes. And earlier in the night, do you know if she was referring to 12:30?
I did not know.
Or 12:15?
No.
Or midnight?
I didn't know the time.
So his answer is he doesn't know.
You testified in the grand jury, and Attorney Jackson just asked you some questions about part of the statement you made to the grand jury when he said, like her last words. Would you like to put that in context of the whole statement you made? Do you remember
her last words?
Do you remember the entire statement that you made in the grand jury about the statement that was made to you?
I'd have to.
May I approach?
Yes.
This is page 81, lines 1-4. Please read it to yourself.
Right here, sir.
1-4, please.
Yes.
Now, when you made that statement you were asked about in the grand jury, you didn't just say, like her last words, did you?
No.
You explained your memory to the grand jury?
Objection.
Ask him what he told the grand jury.
Okay. The grand jury, do you know it was on April 21st, 2022?
Yes.
Okay. And did you tell the grand jury? So she
Objection.
I'm going to see counsel at sidebar for a second, please.
May I approach?
Yes.
Sir, I'm showing you that statement that you made. That includes the last words. But there's more to the statement, isn't there?
She was upset.
I'd like you to read your entire
sure.
statement, 1-5. You can read it out loud.
So she was also, she was upset also because she said they had, you know, the last time they had talked, she had gotten into an argument. So she was upset that that was like her last words to him.
And so when you were speaking about her last words to him, were you referring to the argument?
Correct.
You testified again regarding this issue, didn't you, in May 3rd, 2024?
Correct.
Okay. And at that point, did you think or believe that the conversation she was relating to you was about a voicemail?
Objection.
I'm going to sustain the objection.
Did you use the word again on May 3rd, 2024, argument?
Objection.
I'm going to allow this.
I used argument.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
Can I ask you to read your prior statement on page 10, lines 9 through 13?
Objection.
I'm going to see you at sidebar again and bring these documents, please. Bring all of it. Yes.
Thank you. Sir, when you wrote the report of your notes to put in your report, do you remember the word argument?
I did.
Do you remember her actually saying the word argument?
I did.
Do you remember her ever saying any word about voice messages?
I did not.
Okay. You said that there was somebody in the front seat of the car with the defendant?
There was.
And you later learned from the defendant it was a person by the name of Kerry Roberts.
Correct.
Can you share with us the context? How did you learn that?
The defendant and my partner, firefighter Whitley, had a conversation.
Objection.
I'm going to allow it.
So the defendant brought up how if her husband had died at the time, she didn't know how she was going to take care of his kids.
Objection.
I'm going to allow this.
And firefighter Whitley mentioned that she had like a strong support system. You know, all the friends around Canton and.
Objection, Your Honor. May we approach?
Yes.
When you spoke to the defendant and she shared with you that her last words with her husband were an argument, why didn't you ask for more detail about that?
I didn't feel it was at the time we went about the call as that we didn't, you know, think we would be witnesses in a murder trial. We were there to support Karen and ultimately get to the hospital safely.
And you were asked about trauma, and you said that you observed that the person may be in trauma, Ms. Reed.
A traumatic event,
traumatic event.
Right.
Do you have any idea what caused that traumatic event?
I did not.
Thank you. I have no further questions.
Anything?
Very briefly, you indicated that you were asked on redirect examination by Mr. Brennan whether earlier in the night could have been 12 or 12:15 a.m., correct?
That's what he asked, yes.
And earlier in the night, could have been 6 o'clock p.m.
Early in the night, yeah, correct.
Could have been 5 o'clock p.m.
Could have been.
Could have been 7 o'clock p.m.
Sure.
Okay. You were also asked whether or not Ms. Reed actually specifically mentioned voicemails when she talked about those last words. And you said she didn't.
That I remember, correct.
But she did show you her phone.
She tried to.
And she did show you a bunch of missed calls to John O'Keefe, correct?
I wasn't going to look through her phone. I don't know who she called.
Thank you. That's all.
When she said about the argument, she said those were the last words, the argument, right?
That's correct.
Sustained. All right. The jurors disregard that last statement. All right, you are all set.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Is this a good place to stop for the day?
If the court pleases, yes.
Jurors, we could do 6 minutes, but I think we'll just, this is probably a good place to start. All right. So, as I understand it, folks, we're on schedule, right where we thought we would be. We're going to release you for today. Now, when I told you this morning, and I've told you other times too, that when you're out in that room waiting for us, we're in here getting work done to make things more efficient for the trial, especially a trial this long. We've decided that we're going to spend Monday afternoon again trying to streamline this trial and deal with issues that we have to deal with. So Monday for you will be a half a day. All right, so I just wanted to tell you that before you left today. Please, again, those three cautions. Do not discuss this case with anyone. Don't do any independent research or investigation into this case. If you happen to see, hear, or read anything about this case, please disregard it. Let us know. And I guess the fourth caution is the same as I've been saying. Please be very careful with your social media. All right. Have a good weekend. We'll see you Monday morning.
All rise for the court, please.
And I'd like to see counsel at sidebar, please. All right. We'll see you Monday.
Thanks.
All right. So, Tori, you should take care of that today. Yes, please do.
Goodbye.
All right.
Margaret, thank you. So if somebody heard
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second. From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi there, my name is Annie Elise, aka your true crime BFF and host of the podcast Serialously. I have been a true crime enthusiast forever, but I wished somebody would break down the cases for me like a friend, giving all the details and discussing every twist and turn. So I decided to create a podcast that does just that. Serialously with Annie Elise is topping the charts with over 1 million weekly downloads. I do the deep dives in these cases so you don't have to, diving into all the raw details, saying what we're all thinking, and in a conversational way, just like having a conversation with your best friend. So join me and let's talk all things true crime. Serialously with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.